That's what Luther is afraid of, I think, is this word of ultimate, utter rejection. That's the word of the law, the word of terror. Well, you can now see how the gospel would be wonderful news. Let's continue the story. Suppose you open that study door, and there, sitting on your father's lap, is your brother, the one you pushed down the stairs. And the first thing that happens is he smiles. The second thing that happens is he says, "My sister, my sister." And then the third thing that happens is, of course, your father has to follow suit and say, "Yes, my daughter, my child." Then you know that everything's going to be all right. Maybe there'll be a spanking. Who cares? Everything is going to be fundamentally all right. And your brother continues saying something like, "Oh, I want you to be my sister. I want to be your brother. I want us to be brother and sister again. You're my sister. Will you believe that? Right? Don't think of yourself as someone who's hurt me. That doesn't matter to me. You're my sister. That's who you are. Can you believe that?" That's the gospel. That's the good news that restores you, that comforts you. Luther will always talk about comfort, consolation of the gospel. Someone who has every right to hate you says, "I want to be your brother. I want to give myself to you. We want to be happy together, don't we, for eternity?" And of course, the brother here now represents Christ. And the story gets even better. The Christian gospel story is a very happy story. Imagine that your brother, in fact, is going to get better. His neck is not going to be broken. It was injured, but he's going to be okay. And that's like the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the one that we crucified, but he's raised from the dead because he defeats death. He defeats all the evil that we can do to him. That's the Christian story. It is really, really good news. And Luther thinks that just by believing it, you become an entirely different person. And that's what he wants to preach and teach. And that's what changes the world. Just by believing it, by faith alone, everything changes. Well, we'll have to talk about why people found that controversial and what that did to change the world in this momentous event called the Reformation. But let me say just a little bit about how to deal with controversial figures and my thoughts about what we should think about this difficult man, Martin Luther. I've been emphasizing things that I think we can be sympathetic with. That is, I've been trying to promote a sympathetic understanding of Luther, because I think you can't understand someone like Luther without a little sympathy. It takes a little sympathy and understanding to cross that huge historical divide of about 450 years that separate us from Luther. We can't just think about him the way we think about ourselves, because he's different. And that crossing that historical divide requires some sympathy. But we should also be thinking critically about Luther, as I've suggested. And the critical thinking will have to deal with moral issues. By the end of these lectures, I'm going to be talking about really awful things that Luther says about people he disagrees with, especially the Jews. What Luther says about the Jews is wicked, inexcusable, and wrong. We have to make moral, critical judgments about Luther. You have to do that when dealing with certain historical figures. If you don't make a moral judgment about Adolf Hitler, then you don't understand him. If you don't make a positive moral judgment about Mahatma Gandhi, I think you don't understand him. So we need some positive and negative moral judgments about Martin Luther, both sympathy and criticism. The aim here, I think, should not be a kind of neutral objectivity, as if there was some scientific method for achieving a neutral judgment about such a controversial figure. What we need is rather what I'll call good judgment. The good judgment that, like the good judgment you exercise in deciding whether someone is trustworthy, or whether you can trust them in one regard or another. This is a moral issue. It's a matter of judgment. It's not a matter of sort of scientific objectivity. The judgment should aim at truth and also at justice, at being fair to this very complex and somewhat tormented figure, Martin Luther. So that's what I'll aim at in this lecture. Let me say, in conclusion, a little bit about what we're heading for in the set of lectures that is coming up, 24 lectures on Martin Luther. We'll begin in part one of these lectures by talking about this central concept of gospel. There's a whole lot to say about how it works, how Luther ended up sort of formulating this concept, how it fit into his experience of terror on the one hand and consolation on the other, this dialectic or sort of back and forth between gospel and law that is at the center of his theology and his life. Then in part two, we'll talk about the public event called the Reformation. Part one is about what happens in Luther's heart, in Luther's experience of law and gospel. Part two is about the Lutheran Reformation, the course it takes in the early 16th century, how it changes the world, how it creates this enormous split between Catholic and Protestant, how it creates, in fact, a split between Lutheran Protestants and other kinds of Protestants, especially the Swiss reformers, the Reformed tradition, as it's called. Then in part three, we'll deal with a series of related topics, Luther and X, Luther and the Bible, Luther and Protestantism, Luther and predestination. That's a fun one. And also Luther and his enemies, and Luther and the Jews, where we say some very critical things about Luther, make those moral judgments. So next time, we'll be launching ourselves into part one, and we'll start with some context for Luther. Right? Part one is about Luther's experience of the gospel. But to begin with, we have to start not with Luther's experience, but its historical context. We'll talk about the medieval church. We'll talk about the medieval papacy and its history. And then in lecture two, that's lecture two, sorry. In lecture three, we'll talk about medieval piety, medieval religion, the spirituality in which Luther was raised. And then we'll be ready to talk about why this notion of gospel drops into the middle of this medieval piety of Luther's and changes everything in his heart, and then everything in European history in the Reformation.